Amen? Man, you got to be more excited than that. There you go. I like that. We are blessed. We are truly blessed to be in the house of the Lord. And you know, I read an article the other day that churches are shrinking. People don't find the need to go to the Lord's house anymore. And that's just the kind of world that we're living in and the Bible speaks of in the end times. That I'm not telling you tomorrow Jesus is coming back. That's not what I'm saying. But if you look at that last book and look at how the world is today, you can start to see similarities and things taking place that Jesus said must take place before his return. But I'm happy to wait, just not a whole long time. That's not a word, is it, Lisa? A whole long time? They don't go together. Oh, they did today. You're gonna learn that my words don't always go together. But I just praise God each and every Sunday that he allows me to be up here to share his words with you. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. And for those watching this on Facebook Live, I'd like to welcome you as well. I'd like to welcome our visitors. And as my wife told me, my battery died, which is a problem for us because I like to move around. But that's all right. Maybe I can stand still today. So if you have your Bibles, open to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, reads like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's like everything else when it comes to the Lord. He don't want just a piece. The Lord wants it all. He requires it all. And he tells us to trust him with our whole hearts. And so that, wow, we just dropped the batteries. But that's what we must do. You see, we got a good message coming. Satan is all up in our grills trying to mess things up. But guess what? There's someone here today that is more powerful than him, that has already beaten him and whooped him into a pulp. He's just not smart enough to know it. So we're not going to let something like a couple drop batteries stop us from doing the Lord's work and hearing his word. Amen? Now we got her all fixed and we're ready to go. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, the word trust translated from the Bible literally means a bold confidence, sure security, or actions based on that security. Trust comes from faith. Faith and trust is not the same thing. Faith comes from grace, the grace of God. It's the grace of God that gives us our faith. And faith is what we have to have trust. We can have faith and still not trust. And you ask me, well, how does that happen? Well, faith is believing in something, believing that it is true and that it is real. And we trust and have faith in God. Amen? The practical consequences of faith in God is trust, which we prove by living out our full acceptance of God's promises day by day. See, that's where we draw our trust, and that's where our faith comes from, is God's promises. How many of you believe that God can tell a lie? God cannot lie, so why do we have so much trouble trusting in his promises? It's because we're human. It's because we have this fleshly body. And it's because sometimes our pride gets in the way. But see, he has promises so much in his word, and yet we find it difficult to trust in this word. It is by the trust that we are promised peace. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep his peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. That's where our peace comes from. Because when we don't have trust in God and we're trying to work out our own problems, what's happened? I have no peace. My stomach gets all up in a knot. My temper, believe it or not, I have a little one. rises just a hair, and my kids become fearful of me. Uh-oh, something's wrong. I'm waiting for the day that one of them will walk up to me and say, Dad, just trust in Jesus. You ain't got to be angry. But see, when we have trust, we have peace. And when we have that peace, then we can go about doing God's work in the manner that He wants us to do it in. Amen? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This verse sums up the biblical teaching on trust. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me, you are not that smart. Are you calling me dumb? No, I'm not calling you dumb. But look at it this way. God, the creator of this whole universe, knows you. He knows you personally. And believe it or not, He knows your problem before you even know it is a problem. And even better than that, He already has a solution. But see, we don't stop and think. Like, we think with our earthly minds instead of thinking with our spirits. If we thought with our spirits, we would never waver in our trust to God. He created everything. We've been studying the book of Ephesians in our Bible study. We just started it. In the very first chapter in Ephesians, Paul says that God chose you before the foundation of the earth. Let that sink in for a minute. He chose you before He put the first pebble on this planet. He chose you before He let the first blade of grass grow. He knew you before He knew anything else, before He created anything else. Not only did He know us, but He chose us. He chose you to be sitting here today before He founded this earth. Now, if you let that sink in, then you can ask yourself, why do I not trust? Why do I doubt? But see, we don't look at that. Instead of looking to God when a problem arises, we look at the problem instead of the solution. And where is the solution? The solution is right there. The solution is in God's Word, and God's Word says trust Him. He gives us great promises, and two of those, He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and He'll meet all our needs. Amen? So if He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and He'll meet all my needs, what do I have to worry for? Nothing. And no, I'm not standing up here telling you that I trust God all the time. If I was to ask the question, have you ever doubted God? My hand would be the first one to be raised. And today, at times, I still find it difficult. I catch myself not putting all my faith in God. But friends, let me tell you, if you sat down, my wife likes to journal. She likes to write. And it's not a bad idea, because if we would stop for a moment when trials and tribulations hit, which is another promise that Jesus told us we would endure, if we would stop for just a moment and not look at the problem or not try to find the solution to the problem, but just sit down and think back. And for those of us like me who have a bad memory, a journal is a good thing. And open that journal up and go through it. God helped me through this. God brought me through this. God brought me through this, through this, through this. He'll do for me today what He did for me yesterday. And if He'll do for me what He did yesterday, He'll do it for me tomorrow. So why should I ever doubt? But we forget. We don't stop and think about what He did yesterday. We don't stop to think about all the trials and tribulations that He's brought us through, because we're weak-minded. And we're weak-minded. And so when Satan comes against us, I'm messing Jessica all up because I'm nowhere in this notes of mine. But that's all right. When Satan attacks us, where does he attack us? He attacks our minds. Now, you say, well, he attacks my body, but he don't care about your body, because he already knows that that body that you're living is going to turn into dust pretty soon. It's not going to last forever. So when he attacks your body, he goes directly to your mind. Well, where's your God now? You got a broken femur. You already missing a leg. You got a broken femur. Where's your God at now? But then that person he's speaking to remembers what God did for her yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. When he tempted Jesus, what did he do? He attacked Jesus' mind. He knew his body was tired. He knew his body was weak from the lack of food. So what did he do? He attacked his mind. And what did Jesus do in return? He went to Satan with the word of God. So when God attacks our minds must be full of the word of God so we can rebuke him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God has promised me that I have the same power as Jesus had over Satan. All I have to do is trust in God and believe in that power, and Satan has to flee from me. You might want to turn that down a little bit. But that's what we got to remember. We have these same powers. Christ lived on this earth for 33 years. He knows that we're a weak people. He knows how Satan comes against us because Satan came against him the same way. And there was times that Satan came against Jesus, and there was one time that Jesus had a little doubt. What do you mean he had a little doubt? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father, he said, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me." He did not doubt God, he doubted himself. Whether or not he would be strong enough to trust in the plans of the Father. And he asked again, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me." But in the end, Jesus put all his trust in the Father. And he walked up that hill of Calvary and he allowed himself to be crucified that we might live. And he wants us to live in abundance. That doesn't mean that we're going to have all the money in the world. It doesn't mean that we're going to have a great big house. It don't even mean that we're going to have a house to live in right this minute. Amen, sister? You guys still looking for a house? But you have faith and you have trust in God that when the time comes, he's going to give you the house that he wants you to have. And I told you that I have a new pickup sitting outside. And Jessica and I actually got a little bit worried. What's the church going to think? We went out and bought a new pickup. And I was about to hit him up for a raise. But let me tell you how this came about. And trust me, I'm not bragging. When we were heading up to Denver, we got the phone call and telling me my little pickup, the engine blew up in it, and we just couldn't see putting that kind of money in a pickup that old. And so we just decided we're going to do without one. And if it came down to it, we couldn't use our camper anymore. We could sell it if that was God's will and use that money for something different. And so we went about our vacation without no worry. And we went up to Denver, we watched the Rockies play, and they lost, but we got to watch a beautiful fireworks. And then we went to Colorado Springs for a few days, and I don't know how you guys are, but sometimes I daydream about having things. I like to watch the shows about people who live in the Bahamas and St. Thomas and St. Croix because I'm thinking that's where I'm going to retire. And I daydream about this stuff. So I was looking online. I was just looking at trucks thinking, no, I can't afford these. And then I got to praying about it. And the Lord laid it on my heart, just go look at this particular truck, this one right here. Don't look at no others, just look at this one right here. So we went down to CarMax. Yeah, I told him I'd give him a promo. We went to CarMax, and before we went that night, we went on Friday, Thursday night, I said, "Lord, if this is not your will, don't make it even possible for me to get on the lot. Even if that means my car has to break down, don't allow me to get there." It's not that I didn't trust God. I didn't trust me because I already found in my heart, I love this truck. I wanted this truck. I didn't trust myself. But we got there with no problems and we pulled into the lot. And I'm going to tell you what, I've never had such an easy, I'm going to mess this all up, Lisa. I've never had an experience of buying a car like this. It was so quick. Within 2 hours, we were done. We walk in the place, and I said, "Lord, you know how I am. I don't trust myself. I need confirmation that this is your will. This is what you want me to do." And I've told you guys many times that I'm a person that needs this because I don't trust me, because I'm worried that I'm going to make a mistake. I said, "Lord, I need you to confirm this to me." So we walk in, and the gentleman standing at the little kiosk, He come out around the kiosk, and he says, "How can I help you?" I said, "I'm here to look at a pickup." He says, "You have something in mind?" I said, "Yeah, this one right here. I don't want to look at no others, just this one right here." He says, "I like a man who knows what he wants." And so we walk out in the lot. We start walking to the pickup, and he says, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a pastor." He says, "Well, that's amazing. I just retired from a pastor." He says, "Now I'm a chaplain at the church." And I get that little tingly feeling. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this is God's will. And so we go for a test drive, and we got to talk, and it turns out we served in the military during the same period of time. But yet, I still had doubt. I said, "Okay," after the test drive, we're walking back to the office. I said, "Lord, if it's not your will, don't let this financing go through. If they don't want to give me the interest rate that it shows on my pre-approval, don't let this happen." I'm still doubting. And the Lord's done just about everything but hit me in the head. And we go in there and just, it was done. So it's not that I didn't trust God. I didn't trust myself. And so I put my trust now in the Lord that he's going to help me make this payment. And Jessica and I were thinking, we almost didn't buy it because in just a few months we could have been debt free. Could have been debt free, wouldn't owe nobody. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord laid it on our heart to buy this pickup. And so we put our trust in him. Now, you would say that it would be pretty easy to put your trust in the Lord when he wants you to go get a new pickup. But that's not absolutely the truth if you want to make sure that you're staying in his will and that you're doing what it is he wants you to do. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord? Trusting in Jesus means committing or dedicating ourselves entirely, entirely, entirely to him. God is greedy. He wants all of you. He don't want a portion of you. And if you want to be able to fully trust him 100%, the only way that we can do that is if we give ourselves to him completely. If we hold anything back, or if we take just a small part of us and keep it in the world, there is no way that we can fully trust him 100% of the time. How many times has a problem come up and you just run around in circles kicking up dust, getting nowhere, and then finally you realize, well, maybe I should talk to God. And you speak to God, and he's sitting up there just waiting, watching you just run around in a circle kicking up dust. And then finally, "Lord, I don't know what to do." He says, "Finally, you sought the answer in the only place the answer could be." And then he takes care of your problem. See, God promises many things, and two other things that he promises is that we'll have trials and tribulations, but he also promises us that when we come through the other side, we will be stronger. He will be glorified, and he also promises that we'll never walk alone. If you're walking alone, it's only because you left him behind. You left the house and left him in the corner. And then we wonder why things go sideways. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 4 to trust in the Lord. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This passage doesn't say that God's going to give us everything that we ask for. But I promise you this, if you'll patiently wait, he'll give you something even greater. Because when we ask God for things, and he doesn't immediately give us those things, it's because he's got something better in store. His plan is greater than our plan, amen? And he's just waiting for the plan to unfold. And when it unfolds and we've patiently waited, what he's got for us is greater than anything that we can think of ourselves. "What's up, little man?" That's my buddy. He comes up and helps me preach every now and then. So like I said, Satan attacks our minds to keep us from focusing on God. And when there's trials and tribulations, that's when he's at his best. But see, God gives us these trials and tribulations so we can grow. And as we grow, our relationships become closer to Him and become stronger in Him. And the closer our relationship to Him becomes, then the easier it is for us to trust. Instead of running around in a circle kicking up dust, when a problem comes before us, the first thing we do is seek God. God, this ain't mine, this is yours. Here you go. If we can get to that point, then we're in a pretty good spot. And the only way that we can get to that spot is to believe and have faith and stay in God's Word, and we'll get there. Our trust in Jesus grows through experience. Jesus wants us to live by faith in Him. And so the Christian life becomes a testing and training ground in trust. A testing and training ground in trust. We have to learn to trust. And so throughout our whole lives is nothing more than one experience followed by another experience, followed by another experience, and by another experience. And so the more we experience things, hopefully I know more today than I knew 20 years ago. Hopefully my faith and trust in the Lord is stronger today than it was 20 years ago, because the Lord has allowed me to go from one experience to the other. Some of them very good, some of them not so good. He could have kept those. But if He had kept those, then I would not have had the experience and the faith to trust in Him as best I can. I still fail. We all still fail. But when you fail less and less, then you know that your growth is becoming greater. Your relationship with God is becoming greater and greater and greater, and our trust becomes easier and easier. In closing, let me just say this. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist references trust 39 times. Whether it's trusting in the Lord or not trusting in the world. Man, I'm here to tell you, watch the news. Don't watch it for very long, or you have to go see a doctor and get some pills for depression. But this world is something else. Our country, our great country, is falling apart at the seams. The only hope we have is in God. You going to put your trust in these people out here? You going to put your trust in Congress? You going to put your trust in our government? Man, if you do that, please come and see me. We need to talk. People will fail us. This world will fail us. Our government will fail us. Our family, our friends, whether it's intentional or not, will fail us. But the one place that we can turn where we will never be failed is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, look towards Him when we have these problems. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And that's Jesus saying, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. It's the only place that we can go where we're not going to be failed. Don't look anywhere else other than the Lord for your faith, and put your undying trust in Him. Me and my family have been through a lot the past couple years. And it's amazing what God has done. Almost 2 years ago to the day, I lost my job. Just went to work and didn't have a job no more. My first thought was, what am I going to do now? The worry set in. I started thinking, where can I go get a job? Where can I go get a job? And I get home, and my wife, who has not been a Christian near as long as I have, I hadn't even told her I'd lost my job yet. She says, don't worry. The Lord's in control. He'll take care of us. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, something happened that's got you worried. I said, I lost my job. And she's my banker. She's the one that works our finances, and she knows what we had, and it wasn't a lot. And she goes, don't worry about it. Trust in God. And here I stand before you today doing something I've wanted to do almost my whole adult life. Some people say, well, it took you 17 years to get there. So what? It took me 17 years because I didn't trust in the Lord and everything. So, remember this. Everything will fail. Everything will fail. But God. So if you want peace and you want joy, the next time something goes sideways, just stop and remember that we serve a God that loves us more than anything. A God that chose us before He even founded the earth. And if He loves us that much, He'll do anything to take care of us. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. And Father, we just thank You for Your grace that allows us to have faith in You. And Father, let our faith remain strong in You. Father, we pray that when the evil one comes against us or we are faced with a trial or a tribulation, Father, we just pray that we will have trust in You, that our relationship will be to the point where we look to You first for the answers, and we look to You first for the direction. For You are the powerful and awesome God who has seen us through from the womb till today. You've never failed us. You're always there for us, and You're always there with us. Father, just imprint this in our heart that we may not forget. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.